Has God given enough to motivate us to do what's right? That's the question that we're going to be looking at today. We want to welcome you to the broadcast. It's so good to have you listening. And we encourage you to open your Bible to Luke chapter 16. We've been studying this week, and we're going to study today, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And we've already said, and we've already learned by example, that this story is very rich. And I mean by that it is absolutely full of all kinds of great lessons. And the lesson that we're going to look at today has to do with man's desire to have more than what God has given him, no matter what God does provide. So let's go back to the story. Let's look at it. Let's look at a request that was made here and what Abraham's response was to that request. In Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 19, the Bible talks about these two men. You have the beggar named Lazarus, and you have the rich man. The beggar named Lazarus died, and he was taken to paradise. He was sent to a place of comfort because of his faith and his obedience to God. The rich man, on the other hand, went to hell. The Bible says that he was tormented there. The rich man evidently had not taken advantage of the opportunities to help his fellow man. He was an unmerciful man. His riches and his love for his riches and his covetousness had left him cold-hearted toward his fellow man. And so he allowed this beggar to lie there at his gate, the very edge of his property, for all those days, and he refused to help him. Because of that, he went to hell. The Bible says when he reached that place, he begged for mercy, but he was not given any mercy. And after that, the Bible tells us, beginning in verse 27, and this is where we start today, "Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." So he wants Abraham to send Lazarus back to the earth. He wants Abraham to send Lazarus back from the dead so that Lazarus can go to his five brothers and warn them, so that he can talk to this rich man's five brothers and tell them the kind of situation that the rich man was in, the suffering and the torment that he was experiencing, and try to reason with them and warn them to the point that they straighten up their lives and that they avoid this terrible place. So you find that the rich man now is concerned about somebody else, and he's concerned about his five brothers. Now you have to admit here that evidently he's being honest, at least, about their spiritual condition, that he is afraid for them. And that situation was that evidently they're in a lost condition themselves and they're headed for the same place that this man is in. And so he wants Lazarus to go back there, and that's his request. I've got five brothers and I don't want them to come to this place of torment. Folks, there are a lot of people in hell right now who are thinking the same thing. And they would give anything to be able to send some kind of message back to the people on earth about their sufferings. Well, what we find here, folks, is that God has recorded this story for us. We might not be related to this rich man, but we don't have to be. Here we find what happened to this man after he died. And there is no excuse for a man going through this life and ignoring God and then getting on the other side of death's doors and realizing that he's in a place of torment and then regretting the fact that he didn't take advantage of the opportunities that he had. We've got this story right here before us. We don't have to wonder and we don't have to ask, well, I wonder what will happen when I die. We don't have to look at life and say, I wonder if there's anything beyond this life. And we shouldn't look at the situation and say, well, I guess that I'm all right with God. I guess that God accepts me and that I'll go on to heaven because, after all, I've not killed anybody and I'm not a bad person that goes around stealing from people or whatever it is, whatever way we try to justify ourselves. Well, folks, you don't find that this man had killed anybody. You don't find that the Bible indicates that he had done anything wrong to people in that sense. But you do find that he had not followed God. He had not feared God and kept God's commandments, and he ended up in this place. So let us not get to the end of our lives. Let us not cross over death's river and then regret the fact that we didn't listen to this story. Let's heed it today. Let's take this seriously right now. And if we need to change our lives, then let's do that right now. Let's do it today. So this man wants his five brothers to hear a warning from a man who died and saw the suffering of this man. But in verse 29, the Bible says, Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Now, Moses and the prophets here do not refer to the people or the persons, Moses and the prophets. Moses did not live at the same time that people like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Malachi did. So what he's talking about here is not that Moses was alive at this time and that the prophets were alive. He's talking about the fact that they had the writings of Moses and they had the writings of the prophets. What he's talking about here is that they had the Old Testament scriptures. They had those books of the Bible that we call the Old Testament, so they could read them. If they wanted to, they could read and find out what the will of God was. They could see what God wanted them to do. They could know that there was a judgment ahead. Remember that in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, the Bible says, Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. So in Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14, the Bible warns about a future judgment. So there was no excuse for these people ignoring God and going to the judgment unprepared. There was no excuse for them living their lives and then dying and being in a wrong condition in the sight of God. They had the Old Testament scriptures. But beyond that, folks, I want you to think about what else they had. Not only did they have the Old Testament scriptures, but they had nature itself that should have reminded them every single day that God exists and that they were accountable to the God of heaven. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. So the scriptures attest to the fact that nature itself declares God. Now these Jews then had the natural revelation, which was creation, that showed that God existed, but they also had special revelation. And we're talking about the Old Testament scriptures. And that is what Abraham points to. He says they need to read the Bible and they need to listen to the Bible. And how badly people today need that very advice. I'm not just talking about the Old Testament, of course. I'm talking about the Old Testament and even more particularly, the New Testament. The Bible contains everything that we need to know in order to be saved. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says that God has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, the Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. So everything that we need to know to get to heaven and avoid hell is in the Bible. That's what we need to spend our time on, folks. That's why we're looking at the Bible today, especially as it warns about future punishment after this life is over for those who die outside of Christ, for those who die in sin. What kind of future awaits people who are living in sin? Well, if they don't repent and obey the gospel, it's this kind of future that we're reading about right here. It's being tormented in these flames that the rich man was in and that he tried so desperately to get out of, and that he also tried so desperately to warn his brothers about by sending Lazarus back to the earth. Now that was his request. Send him back. Have Lazarus to go back to the earth and talk to them and warn them about what's happened to me. And after Abraham said in verse 29, well, they have the Bible, let them listen to the Bible. Then this man came back and argued with him. He said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Now, I want you to think about what he's suggesting here. I want you to look at those two verses, verses 29 and 30, and see what this man is implying. This rich man is implying that the Bible is not enough, that it's not enough to motivate us, that we need something special. We need something extraordinary. We need something like a miracle of raising somebody from the dead like Lazarus and letting him talk to us about what he's seen in the life hereafter. And as you think about that, I'd like for you to fit that into the total picture of man's excuses when it comes to dying in sin. Man has the tendency to look at this life and to have regrets after it's over and to, in some sense, even blame God for dying in sin and not dying a saved person. His excuse or his defense is, well, God, you didn't give me enough time. You didn't extend enough opportunities to me. And here, what the rich man is saying is, you didn't give us enough motivation. You didn't give us something strong enough to give us the incentive to do what was right. Yes, you gave us the Bible, and yes, you gave us creation, but we need something big. We need something like somebody being raised from the dead. We need something just to come down like a lightning bolt out of heaven and hit us. And isn't that what a lot of people think today? They won't pay much attention to the Bible. They rarely think about creation proving that God is and the kind of God that we serve. And so they're looking for something spectacular. They're looking for a great miracle like raising the dead or anything like that that's out of the ordinary. They're looking for some great miracle instead of reading what the Bible says. Now, I want you to notice what Abraham said in response to what this man was talking about. This man, the rich man, said if somebody goes back from the dead, they'll repent then, they'll listen to him. They won't listen to the Bible, but they'll listen to Lazarus. And think about what that means, folks. Think about what he's saying here. They won't listen to the inspired scriptures, which were written by Moses and the prophets, but they will listen to an uninspired man, Lazarus. And by the way, folks, do you think that would happen anyway? If Lazarus went back from the dead? Lazarus was ignored and he was despised by this rich man. Who are we to say, and who is to guarantee that those five brothers would treat him any better? Would they just say, well, you don't know what you're talking about anyway. Oh, you're just a poor beggar to begin with, and just mark him off of their list? We don't know for sure, but what we do find in verse 31 is that Abraham said, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, if they will not listen to the Bible, if they will not heed the warnings that are in the Bible, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Somebody coming back from the dead is not going to do any more good, folks. It's not going to give any more incentive, and people are not going to be any more motivated to obey God if they see somebody come back from the dead than they would be by just reading the Bible and hearing the Bible taught. Now, that's not the kind of lesson that a lot of people want to hear today. And it's not what many people even believe. They're always looking for some great miracle in their life to motivate them. But folks, I ask you to go back to Luke chapter 16 to read this, and especially to remember it in the day and age in which we live, because we have a lot of people that think like this rich man here. They're always looking for something like this rather than simply following the inspired Word of God, the Scriptures. Folks, I urge you to look at your life. If you're not ready for the judgment, if you're not ready to die, then I urge you to go to the Bible and see what it says. And you will find that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And all of us are going to one of those places after the judgment. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Are you ready for the judgment? Are you ready to leave this world and leave this life? Please go back and read the story in Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. The story of the rich man and Lazarus, and heed the warnings that we find in this great passage. Thank you for listening today, and have a wonderful rest of the day.